You're listening to the Under the Laces podcast with your host, Sihan. This is the show where we talk about life, sneakers, and everything in between. So grab your favorite kicks, lace them up, and get ready for the ride. It's the Under the Laces podcast. Greetings, salutations, and welcome. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the season finale of season one of the Under the Laces podcast. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Sihan. Hey, I am, as always, pumped to be back with you guys. And yeah, like I said, today is going to be the season finale, the end of season one. First and foremost, man, I have to thank everybody who has listened thus far. The fact that I'm actually getting to do this and it's being heard all over the place is crazy. So I wanted to give a big shout out to all of you, the listeners, and everyone who has followed and shared and liked the podcast to this point. I didn't think it was going to be this big of a deal. I didn't think that I would get this big of a response. I was just doing this for the fun of it, to do something that I love to do. And you guys have gone far and beyond more than I could ever think or imagine concerning the support and the love for the show. So thank you for everyone who has been part of this journey with me, for those who have joined in and been guests with me, man. I appreciate all of y'all for hanging out with me. It's an honor and a blessing, man, to be doing this today and just hanging out. So, yo, today we're going to wrap up the first season. So, real talk. I really wasn't sure how this was going to go when I first started. I pretty much just said, I'm going to come together with a bunch of ideas. I'm going to put these different creative boards together, and then I'm going to do a show, and then I'm just going to go off these topics. And I was pretty specific and kind of strategic in when I did it, even down to the people that I was inviting onto the show and doing things with. So, I mean, yeah, I just want you guys to know that I did this with some thought. It just wasn't something that I threw together just like thinking one day, hey, I'm going to, hit play and go. Nah, I mean, I actually had some thought behind it, strategized about it, brainstorm, storyboard, and yeah, the show is what it is. So if this is your first time listening, we started the show about going on 10 weeks, little over a month now, close to a month and a half, and it's just been something that I love doing, and just the opportunity to just share and come into a space and build this community. So, yo, the UTL Nation is really growing. I'm so thankful for all of y'all, again, for being on this journey with me. So, today, as we close it out, I thought I'd do something fun for the last episode of Season 1. Went on social media and pretty much gave you, the listeners, the ability to ask me anything. So that's what today is going to be about. Today's show is the Q&A from the audience. So got a lot of responses too, man. Appreciate all y'all, man. Like, I got a lot of questions asked to me. So basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to just go down the list of as many as time permits and answer your questions. So let's kick it off. First question is, what is the shoe that got you into the sneaker game in the first place? Well, that's a good question. If I can't remember what episode I talked about it on, but the shoe that actually got me into collecting and got me big on loving sneakers was the Jordan 3. I had an original pair of those when I was in the fifth grade is when they came out. So the Jordan 3, I had the black cements. And from that point on, I just kind of fell in love with the Jordan shoe. And that kind of created the passion that I had to want to just keep getting Jordans. Now, mind you, I didn't always get them every single year growing up as a kid. So when I did get a pair, those were actually my very first pair of Jordans that I had. And that was probably the last pair I got as a kid that my parents bought for me. And then from that point on, it was like literally working and grinding and hustling to buy them myself, because my parents were going to spend that much money. So Jordan 3 was actually the shoe that got me started. So yeah, the Jordan 3. And if you guys know anything about me, I'm a big Jordan head anyway. So yeah, it is what it is when it comes to that. But man, as I think back on that shoe too, like, dude, it was crazy. That shoe is actually also responsible for the scar that I have over my right eye. The shoe was actually a little bit too big for me, and I was walking to the bathroom in school. I tripped over my own 2 feet because the shoe was too big, and I smacked my head on the bathroom door, and I needed stitches to close up the wound that was above my eye. And that wasn't fun because, you know, I had a needle stuck in my head, and, you know, they stitched up my eyebrow. And then, fun fact, like 3 days later after I got those stitches removed from the front of my head, I was karate fighting some kid wearing those same shoes, and he grabbed my leg, swept me like Karate Kid. The back of my head hit the corner of a table. I busted my head open, and I was right back in the ER getting stitches on the back of my head. So I had no time to really recover from the first set of stitches before I gave myself a second pair. But, you know, that's a little bit too much. Let's move on to the next question. It's another shoe question. If you get to design a pair of your own kicks, what color are you choosing? Man, that's tough. Man, because... Oh, that's a good one. I'd probably say I would keep it basic. I'd probably keep it true to myself and probably go like gray, navy blue, and white. And I would probably rival the colors and design it to kind of be a tribute to the New York Yankees. How about that? So yeah, I would use the color of the New York Yankees roll colors. Simply because I think there's a lot of things that you could do with those colors. I would probably say that I would be able to mix and match really well with those colors. I like them. I mean, I could probably go, you know, like everybody else, and, you know, maybe do like, you know, black and red or whatever. But I think that's just too basic, and maybe my colors are basic. But yeah, I would go with gray, navy blue, and white. And I know it's not in the question, but if it was a shoe that I was going to design with it, if you're giving me the platform to design it, I would probably make it an Air Max 90, simply because I love Air Max 90s, and they're probably the easiest to design. There's so many things you could do with them, and I would probably put like custom logos on the shoe as well, just to make it my own. So yeah, gray, navy blue, and white would be the colors. Okay, next question. Oh, of course I would get this one. Came to this one. How do you feel about the Yankees being eliminated from the playoffs this year by the Red Sox? Look, people, I don't care. Real talk, and I know who you are who asked me that question. I really don't care, quite honest. I mean, for all y'all who know me, if you don't know me, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Yeah, we got eliminated. What do you want me to say? I don't care. And I was done with the season halfway in anyway, and I've pretty much come to be disappointed with my team on a year-in-year-out basis. So, I mean, honestly, you know, ever since the captain retired, even before that, you know, we were kind of on a downward trying to figure out who we are again. So, I mean, honestly, doesn't really bother me. Whoop-de-doo, congratulations to that garbage team from, you know, Massachusetts for moving on, but it's not like you beat a good team anyway. We were trash the whole year. So, yeah, whatever. No, not disappointed at all. Next question. Another baseball question. Is there any other team you despise more than the Red Sox? Actually, I tell you what, it gets really close. Now, we all know I can't stand the Red Sox, but I will say that the Houston Astros are a very close second. They even almost push it to the point where they might, honorable mention, get a little bit further than Boston. I don't like either team. But if I have to say there's a team that I cannot stand other than that team from Massachusetts, it is the team that plays in Florida and reside in, not in Florida, I'm sorry. The team, I was thinking about Tampa because, you know, Tampa right now, if y'all watching the playoffs, they, you know, they just got eliminated too. So you had one job. Great job, Tampa. No, I'm so off, sorry, off track. No, it would be that team in Texas that resides in Houston. I can't stand the Astros. They, like I said, they're a close second to Boston. They almost are equal. You know, real talk, is the fan base. I just don't like the fan base. I lived in Houston for 8 years, and I did go to Yankee games, so I did, you know, get to experience fans. But really what did it for me with the Astros. And, you know, some of y'all think the cheating, look, it is what it is. You know, that's part of the deal. It just solidified the fact to me that people needed to cheat to beat us. But, you know, I digress. Honestly, it was the fan base. I went to 2 ALCS championship games every year. You know, every year that we went to the ALCS and we played them, I did go to the games when they came to town. And the fan base is just like, they talk so much for a team that's only won one World Series and had to cheat to do it. So it's definitely the Houston Astros. I can't stand them. Like I said, they run very close to the Boston Celtics. So, yeah. All right. On to the next question. What's something you're trying to do before the year ends? I'm going to be honest with you. That's probably one that I can't give you an honest answer because I set out, I mean, the one thing that I wanted to do before the year ended was to do the podcast, and here it is. But honestly, I think I'm just kind of like everybody else right now, just trying to really just kind of get through the rest of the year. There's been a lot of loss this year for me personally. I've had friends pass away. I've, you know, gone to funerals. Man, I mean, it's just been with COVID, and because I guess we just all thought COVID was going to be over with and done, or at least it's some sort of, you know, held in some sort of, you know, maybe we're going to get under control. And it just seems the more that, you know, we think it is, it just gets worse. Honestly, you know, I'm just trying to make it through the rest of the year. Real talk. I mean, it's crazy to think at the time of this podcast right now, we're like almost like 70 days away from Christmas, and I'm trying to figure out how the year went by so fast. But like I said, COVID has taken so much from everyone, and just the way that life is right now and all the issues that are happening and just what's going on in the country and just the way people are treating each other right now. I mean, I just want to make it through this year and if anything, just come out being a better version of myself and being a better place. To help other people and, you know, help them maybe unlock what it is that they're passionate about in their lives and just, you know, give them life or give them inspiration or whatever they can. If you want to call it inspiration, maybe just speak into their lives and, you know, help people push past maybe what they're going through. But I mean, honestly, really just trying to get through, you know, through this year. Like you said, this was just a crazy year, you guys, honestly. The fact that, you know, we're still in a pandemic just kind of messes everything up and changes everything. So yeah, I mean, I want to get through 2020, you know, 2021, I think, you know, just like everybody else. Okay. Next question. Is there any other city you would live in besides the one that you're in now? If there was a city that I would move to next, maybe Nashville. I'm really close to it. As you guys know, the show is based out of Louisville. Nashville is a dope city. I love Nashville. I love hanging out there. It's kind of like my second home in some cases because it's such an easy trip to take a day trip down there or a weekend trip and hang out that I think if I did have to pick a state or a city, yeah, it'd be Nashville, Tennessee. Big perk to that, too, would be the fact that they don't have any state tax. Yes, Lord. I mean, we pay state tax here in Kentucky, and it's straight garbage, hot garbage, and I hate it, but it is what it is. But Nashville is such an amazing city. It's such a vibe. There's always something to do there. I've got friends who live in Nashville, so it's actually a really fun place to be, a dope city. I love the vibe about it. It's got great food, and if you know anything about me, I love to eat. I love food. So Nashville would definitely be a spot. I've also said I wouldn't mind going back to New York just to be back into the vibe of the city. You know, while Louisville is a great place to live, we don't have pro teams, so if we want to go to a game and we want to see a team, like if I want to go see the Yankees play, I have to like drive to Cleveland or Chicago to catch a game. Or if the Knicks come to town, you know, it's, you know, I have to go to like Indiana to see the Pacers play. Same thing with football. If there is a team that I really want to see play, not just the Giants, but like, which is tough because they're in the NFC. But like, if there's a game that I want to go to, you know, Cincinnati has a football. You know, the Bengals are up in Cincinnati, and Nashville has the Titans. So there are options to that, but I think that's the only thing that I would say I don't like about living in Lou is that we don't have a professional sports team. And I'm not a big Wildcat fan. I mean, I am outside of Lexington. I can go to Lexington and catch some SEC games, but I mean, the only way that I would go down to Lexington to watch Kentucky play would be if Alabama came into town. And, you know, and I'm a Michigan fan, so actually being, I'm not too far away from the big house. I mean, it's a drive, but I mean, I'm closer to driving up to the big house in Michigan to see Michigan play. So I'm around, you know, Big Ten, but, you know, there, that's the only downside of Louisville is that we don't have any pro sports team. But the University of Louisville is pretty dope, too. They play in the ACC, so Clemson does come to town, even though Clemson sucks. But you still have to, like, take what you can get, and it's actually fun to see the Louisville team play. So, yeah, if there was another place that I would want to live, it would probably, I'd probably say Nashville. Yeah, Nashville. Next question, people. A lot of good ones here, too. I'm trying to scroll through. I'm trying to pick the best ones. That one's inappropriate. I can't ask that one. That one's really inappropriate. I'm not going to ask that one. Well, here's a good one. Here's a cool one, kind of a personal question. What do you see your ministry looking like in the future? You know, I thought I kind of had that figured out, but quite honestly, being part of the ministry I'm a part of here, I've mentioned it before in other podcasts. I'm a part of Life Point Church in Louisville. We launched a church here in January, and we've been doing so many great things in the city that it's been amazing to see how that has happened and transpired for us, and just to see how God has moved and allowed us to make an impact. As far as myself, I mean, honestly, I think the sky's the limit, and I really don't have, you know, in the future, I really can't say, because I used to want to be on a pathway for a certain, you know, I always said to myself that I would probably, you know, one day go back home and plant a church in New York. But really, if I'm being honest with you, I love Louisville so much that I'm at the point where I really want to plant my roots here and hang tight and see what happens. But I think maybe in the future, you know, maybe I'm maybe leading a few more teams than I am now, or maybe making a little bit more of an impact in people's lives. But that's kind of a tough one for me, because that often changes. And the one thing that doesn't change is my passion. My passion is for people. So I think that no matter where people are, I'm always going to gravitate to that, and I'm always going to want to be in a position to just want to help people no matter how I can. And I don't think that that's something that will ever change for me. And I'm a big fan of broken people. I just love to help people who've been broken and who've gone through stuff in life. And I just, you know, I just love to do that. So people who have been through some things, maybe they've battled addictions, or they've been abused, or they're the people that are like the underdogs, or people that have been kind of just like pushed to the side and said, you'll never be anything. Those are the people that I love the most. Not saying I don't love all people, but those are the people that I love helping the most, because I know what it's like to be an underdog, and I know what it's like to want somebody to really believe in you, especially when it's coming to chasing after your goals, your dreams. So I don't know if that answers the question for you fully, but I would just say, you know, wherever it takes me, because there isn't really like a set, you know, like a set goal right now. I'm kind of just walking where it is at right now and just being happy and content in that. So, yeah. Let's see here. What's the next question? What's the best place to eat in Louisville? Let's see. My favorite spot here in Louisville is called Steak and Bourbon. It's freaking amazing. If you ever come to Louisville, you need to just go to Steak and Bourbon and then DM me and thank me. It's probably the best steakhouse that I've been to in a long time. And honestly, moving from Texas, when you go to a steakhouse in Texas, they're expensive. And Steak and Bourbon is actually an amazing place, because you can get a really good steak for really cheap. And it's not like you're getting a cheap steak. You're getting really good stuff. And I think the last time we all went out as a group to eat, we got the filet for like $60. There's another one that's like $30. But man, oh man, it rivals the filet. And I think it was like a, golly, I can't remember which one it was, but anyway, there the Steak and Bourbon. Steak and Bourbon is an amazing place to go eat. That's my favorite one in Louisville. That's one that I like to, on occasion, I will literally save up to go to that one so I can splurge. Because again, I mean, it can get pricey, but not as pricey as some steakhouses that I've been to, like in Houston or even in Florida. I think they're really affordable. And, you know, if bourbon's your thing, then, you know, that's another thing, because I do live in the bourbon capital of the world. If bourbon's your thing, then they've got a full selection of bourbon at your disposal for bourbon cocktails and all that other good stuff. So Steak and Bourbon is probably my favorite. Honorable mention would be a Cuban restaurant called La Bodeguita, which is phenomenal when it comes to Cuban food. I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm used to Hispanic culture and, you know, Hispanic dishes. But they do it so well over there that it's insane. It rivals my grandmother's stuff. Real talk. I mean, even when you order like arroz con pollo, they put it inside a caldera and they serve it to you, and it's just amazing. The flavors are ridiculous. I mean, it's not like, you know, you can go to some places that have that, you know, say they're Latin restaurants or they're Cuban restaurants or, you know, Spanish restaurants, whatever, but they don't have any flavor to it. This place, man, the second it hits your palate, like, it's just insane the amount of flavor that it explodes, you know, in your mouth. And it's all authentic to the culture, which is what I like. And it's not too salty. You know, real talk, you know, growing up in a Hispanic home, you know, we put a lot of salt in our food. So, I mean, some of y'all listening know this. I mean, the adobo is prevalent. The sazon is prevalent. This place, man, they put just enough of everything in the food, and just enough seasoning that it's got enough flavor, but it's not overpowering, and it doesn't like totally destroy, you know, the experience. So yeah, those would be the two places that I would say check out if you come to Louisville. I mean, and if you're looking for something really inexpensive, I would say do a place like Joella's Hot Chicken or Royal's Hot Chicken. I am more of a fan of Royal's Hot Chicken than I am Joella's, but they're both, you know, they're both the same concept. It's hot chicken. Being close to Nashville, we do have hot chicken. A lot of people, and some of y'all listening, prefer Joella's more than you do Royal's. I prefer Royal's simply because of the way that they season the food. They have more of an oil-based type of seasoning that goes on top of the chicken breast, whereas Joella's more of like a rub. But I will say that Joella's chicken breasts are way better, or the strips that they use are way better than Royal's for whatever reason. They're plump, they're juicier. If those two ever came together, like, I'm the type of person that says, like, yo, if I had the Joella's chicken strips with the Royal seasoning, I would be in heaven. So those would be the places that I recommend to anybody coming to Louisville if you wanted something really good to eat. Let's see. Next question. I'm really trying to keep it simple, but man, there's so many different questions here. Another sports question. Are you excited about the NBA season? Yes, I am. Really excited about that. I'm excited about my Knicks. I'm excited to see where the Knicks are headed with all the moves that we made, but just in general as a whole, I'm really, really excited about where the NBA season is going. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how everybody matches up. Clearly, the Lakers are loaded with, you know, with Russ and the Brow and LeBron and Melo. And, I think it's going to be fun to see them play. I'm really excited about the Warriors coming back. I'm really hoping that Steph and Klay can have a healthy season together, because it's been 2 years since we've seen the Splash Brothers on the court together. So I'm really excited to see the Warriors come back and play. I don't like the Nets. I can't stand the Nets. I'm from New York. Never liked the Nets. Brooklyn is blah. Could really care less. I think it's comical what's going on over there. They signed Kyrie. Good for you. That was your problem. You know, you got KD, you got Harden, you got a super team, and what did he get you? Nothing. So, you know, whatever. I will root for any team on any given night that is playing the Brooklyn Nets, because I can't stand the Nets. But I do like KD. I think KD is probably the best player in the league. I know a lot of people will rebuttal that with me and say it's probably Giannis, and that's a fair argument to say. I just think that KD's a pure killer, and KD can score wherever he wants to, from however he wants to, wherever he wants to on the court. That's not to take away from Steph, who can shoot the ball from darn near one end to the other, but I just think in terms of who's dominant and who I think I'd want to see take over a game, it's definitely KD. So I am excited about the NBA season. I'm excited about that and what it's going to bring, and hopefully I can get up to Indy and catch some games, because I know that tickets are going, like, I know the Laker tickets are already sold out, so hopefully I can get to see my Knicks play. So yeah. Next question. How serious are you when it comes to fantasy football, or do you even play? Oh no, I play. Oh, do I play? My God, do I play? I love fantasy football. It's probably my next best favorite game, other than playing Call of Duty with my homies on Xbox. I am seriously invested into fantasy football. Oh, you best believe it. I love it. It's win or go home. I am right now working on defending my crown from last season, because in our league that we all play together with my buddies, I won the league last year, so I'm looking to repeat, and I am trying to win by any means necessary. So I am that guy who will make trades. I am not afraid to make that one blockbuster trade that will possibly give up a high pick for the opportunity to win. And real talk, we've got a lot of good teams in our league this year, so it's been fun to see how it's panning out. Oh, we have a lot of good teams. But yeah, I love playing fantasy football. I really do. And I'm really liking my team this year that I have too. And I'm gonna piggyback on that question, because the next question under that was, in a fantasy football draft, who would you take first? Maybe this question is kind of irrelevant or not. I mean, real talk, that's a tough question to answer, because, I mean, if it's me, if I have the first pick in the draft, I mean, I'll take Derrick Henry. And I know that we're already deep into the season, but, I mean, going back, if I would have had the first pick in our draft that we had in our league, I would have taken Derrick Henry. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, CMC. I think CMC is phenomenal as well. He can win you a league, but he's also going to get hurt a lot. So you have to make sure that you have a contingency plan with CMC. I think that if you take Derrick Henry, then you're golden. I don't believe in taking quarterbacks early. I think that you can get a quarterback later in the rounds. So I would definitely probably take Derrick Henry first. And that's even in a PPR league. For those of you who don't know, PPR means point per reception. So if you play in a regular league and you don't count the points for reception, that's cool. I'd still take Derrick Henry, but I would also take King Henry in a PPR league. Okay, next question. If you could travel anywhere in the world right now, where would you go? I would go to Tokyo. No secret, people. I love Tokyo. I love Japan. I want to go there. I want to spend time there. I want to, like, take 2 weeks and just hang out in Japan. If, you know, God willing said I could go, I would live there. I just love things, everything about Japan. I've been infatuated with it since I was a kid. So I really would love the opportunity to actually spend some time there and see how they just do life. I mean, it's the tech, you know, the mecca of tech. So not only because of that, but just the vibe. I mean, I'm from New York, so I've seen how that's our city moves in New York, but to see how things move in Tokyo and just how stuff in Japan is would be amazing. Plus you could say the cherry blossoms, but, like, there's so many beautiful landscapes in Japan that I'd want to go see the mountains and I'd want to see the countryside. Even though I'm a city boy, I would love to just hang out in the countryside of Japan. I mean, dude, I'd even be happy going to, like, a Wagyu farm and seeing how they make their, you know, how they, you know, pick the cows and, you know, how they do all that stuff, because that interests me. But I also want to try their 7-Elevens, because their 7-Elevens look amazing when you look at the stuff that's on YouTube. I'm constantly on YouTube watching stuff about Japan, and, like, their 7-Elevens are ridiculous. I mean, they're so much better than ours. Like, why can't we get, like, some of the ramen noodles that they have in Japan, in America? Like, why couldn't we get, like, the ones that actually have real beef? So, yeah. Tokyo, Japan would be where I would want to go next. All right, next question. Are you single? Yes. Next question. Sorry. Yeah, next question. If I could go to dinner with anybody, who would that be? Man, can't believe somebody asked me that question, but, you know, that one's tough. I mean, that one's tough. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I could answer that, you know, if there was one person I could sit down and have dinner with, it would be Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee is my hero, childhood hero. I would love to sit down with Bruce Lee and pick his mind, his philosophies, not just the way that he trained, but just the way that he viewed life. He was an amazing philosopher. You know, be water, my friend, and all that other good stuff. Sorry I got distracted by answering that question because my phone just went off and gave me alert saying that the Houston Astros have just advanced to the ALCS, so that now means that I have to watch the most garbage teams in the country play for the opportunity to go to the World Series. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Let's go to the next question. I'm sorry, guys. I just got sidetracked there. Is there one brand of sneaker you will not wear? Absolutely, and it is the Yeezy brand. I hate Yeezys. I can wear just about anything else out there. I'm down with Reebok because I do rock Iversons. I'm cool with Puma. Under Armour has some nice stuff depending on which, you know, what you grab. I love Adidas too. I'm more of the old school stuff with Adidas than I am the newer things. But I've got buddies who love them NMDs. Just not my style, but the one shoe I will not wear, I refuse to wear, will not, cannot, won't wear, are Yeezys. I think they're the ugliest sneaker ever created. I don't understand this. I really don't. And real talk, I mean, I'm kind of giving you a little bit of spoiler into season two. Like, I'm going to go in depth about that and Kanye. But I don't understand it. I've literally tried to wrap my head around this thing about the Yeezys and why everybody loves them. I think that, golly, dude, the shoes look like they're a raggedy sweater with a piece of rubber around them. And they almost look, they look like they're homeless. Like, when I see a pair of Yeezys, I want to give them a dollar because they just look so busted. I mean, did y'all even see the ones that released earlier this year that looked like dumplings? They were runners, I guess. And I can't believe that people bought these. And the fact that they resell for thousands of dollars blows me away because, like I said, they are the ugliest shoes I have ever seen. And everybody and their mama wants the Yeezys. Dude, I see pastors wearing the Yeezys. God bless y'all who wear them on stage when you preach. I can't do it. I just don't like them. I mean, I've got a buddy. He has a pair, and I cleaned them up for him. And I even tried to put them on my feet, and I got halfway through because we're the same size. We got halfway through. And I was going to put them on, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it because they just look horrible. I mean, they work for some people, but, you know, a lot of people say they're super comfortable. But we could do a whole show on the fact of how I hate the Yeezys. But absolutely, I will not wear Yeezys. I will go to Skechers first. If you gave me the choice and say, hey, I'm going to give you a pair of Yeezys or a pair of these Skechers, I'm going to take the Skechers with arch support every single time. Every single time. Not even a question. I don't care if you tell me that Kanye will hand deliver those shoes to me, because I'll be like, well, that's even more reason for me not to take the shoes. Because, you know, no, I'm good money. Like I said, no, Yeezys. That's the only shoe I will not wear. I will not wear Yeezys. Okay, next question. Why Nike? Oh. Why is Nike your favorite shoe? Okay, so since we talked about the shoe I didn't like, let's talk about the shoe I do like. It's just the name. I mean, let's be real. It's just what it symbolizes. I mean, it's the swoosh. It's Nike. It's the marketing. It's the branding. It's the fact that, you know, Jordan, everything about Nike. I mean, just the story where they came from. But Nike is pretty much just like the standard. I mean, everybody knows who it is. And let's be real. Like, if you're, you know, growing up, you know, in high school, it was Jordans or Air Maxes or, you know, shucks, the Cortez. There's just so many things to pick from. I mean, shoot, even the cross trainers, you know, especially the Bo Jackson ones. There's just so many things that Nike has released and so many cool shoes. And the fact that they're so diverse with the athletes, it's insane to see what they produce. I mean, the shoes that they make for certain players are just nuts. And I think the creativity behind it as well is another reason why I'm a big Nike guy. Obviously, you know, I'm Team Jordan all the way, and any pair of Jordan, you know, that comes out that I like, if I want it, you know, I'll wear it, even though I am partial to some of them that do come out. But I just think the way that Nike does their designs, I mean, Tinker Hatfield, for one, I just love Tinker Hatfield, and he's probably one of the most iconic sneaker designers in the history of sneaker designing. And the fact that, you know, he's done so much work with Nike and just what they've created is just super cool. I mean, you got to think about the fact, too, most schools nowadays, especially in college, they're all sponsored by Nike. Their facilities, I mean, just the fact that Oregon's facility is totally decked out from head to toe by Nike is super dope. I love Oregon's facility down to their practice field. It's just stinking amazing, and that's because of Nike. But it's just really what they do. I mean, even if you think about, like, Penny Hardaway, Penny had his pennies, and then the Foamposites, and the Foamposites changed the game as far as the way, you know, basketball shoes went. And I just think the fact that, you know, who they brought in, I mean, they had Kobe for so long. Love me some Kobe, and I love Kobe's shoes. So I think because of just who they attract and you know, what they design and how they design, I just love everything Nike. And they're practical. They've got so many things. I think that while other shoe companies are diverse in their own way, there's no other company that's as so expansive and being diverse in what you want to wear. Like, there's so many options with Nikes, from, you know, Air Max 90s to 95s to 98s to 97s to, like I said, the Foamposites, to cross trainers, to running shoes, to the Air Max 290, to, you know, to the LeBron brand, who y'all know I'm a fan of LeBron's shoes. I may not be a big fan of LeBron on the court, but his shoes are just so comfortable. Just who they work with, I think Nike, they're just standalone. So, yeah, Nike all the way, and, you know, that's why, because of just what they do. Next question, and this is a really good question. What's one thing you would change about the sneaker game? Man, I would change a lot of things. I think the main thing I would change about the sneaker game right now is the accessibility to get them. I think that it's absolutely crazy that you have to literally struggle and fight to get a pair of shoes that you really want. I get releases, and I get, you know how limited shoes can be, and I get that there's only certain amounts that they'll put out, or production issues or things like that. But I feel like if you're going to make a shoe, man, make it accessible to everybody who wants to get it. And when I say accessibility, I'll just go a little bit into it. The sneakers app, I think, is trash. I think it is the worst app that is created to mankind as far as trying to shop. I think it is it's the most easily rigged. It's dumb. I think that it's a waste of time. I mean, anybody who's listening to this, if you've ever tried to win a raffle for a pair of sneakers on the sneaker apps, you know you're pretty much taking an L. And it's just dumb because you're literally just putting your name in the hat, hoping that it happens. But 9 times out of 10, you're already expected to take the L because of bots, because of limited quantities, because of the shoes. You know, I don't, you know, like, even with Dunks, I'm not a big fan of Dunks, but there are certain Dunks that I do like. And when they come out, it's just not even, there's just not enough. So I think that if I would change anything about the game, it would be how we have access to them. You know, and that's tough to do because, you know, there's shoes that get backdoored all the time. And, you know, the Trophy Room ones that came out this year where Marcus, you know, Jordan backdoored thousands of pairs. And, you know, they showed up on the internet way before the release date and, you know, limited pairs are found. I just think that it's ridiculous because the real talk, I mean, you know, if you're a sneakerhead, you already know it's about status anyway, which is stupid. And I think that's another thing, you know, that would be another thing I'd change. Like, who cares about the status of the shoe that you wear? Let's just, you know, rock what we want to rock. And you know, if you're a Yeezy person, that's you, rock it. If you're a Nike dude like me, you rock it. You know, who cares? But, sneakers are just an avenue of status. So, I mean, why not make them accessible to everybody else? And why not make them a little bit more affordable, too? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you got single moms out there trying to get shoes for their kids and they can't because they're so expensive. And I get it. My mom and my dad, when I was a kid growing up, they wouldn't buy me Jordans because they were so much money. Now I look at them and I buy them. And even at $200 for a pair of sneakers, I think it's ridiculous. I've spent more than that on shoes, which I'm not proud of. But at the same time, like, I just think that prices, the way that people flip them, it's crazy to think that people will get a pair of shoes 1 second right off the sneaker app, and then they're right on eBay for, like, thousands of dollars, and it blows my mind that people would even pay that much for them. So I would just change the way that they're accessible to people. I would just say, hey, make them more accessible to people, and you know, not let it be so much about status, because that's really about what it is. I mean, let's be real, you know, again, like I said, that's what it is. I mean, I know it is for me. You know, nothing's cooler than walking into church or, you know, school or to your job in a pair of fresh pair of J's and people are like, oh, yo, you got them? So, I mean, yeah. Yeah, let's make it a little bit, you know, more accessible. Next question is about sneakers, obviously, again. What sneaker is your grail pair? Ooh, my grail, my unicorns, my Eleanors, my Sasquatch, my Bigfoot, my Loch Ness Monster, the ones that I wish I could, would be the Off-White. You already knew I was going to say Off-White. The Off-White Jordan 5 Muslims, the black ones. Man, listen, I have been trying to get that shoe since the day it dropped. That is hands down my favorite Jordan that's probably been released in a long time, and I honestly, I would literally sell all of the shoes I have right now just to buy that one pair, because I love those shoes so much. They are my favorite Jordan right now. I just, the way that Virgil Abloh designed those and the way that Off-White just made those, they're just like, my gosh, bro, they're so sick. But that is my grail. It's the one that always eludes me. I went as far as one time in an auction, I even put myself at a limit that I was determined to get them. And, I mean, I've seen them go as high as $1,000. And I myself was willing to pay no more than $525 for a pair of them. I know that's ridiculous, and I know what you guys are thinking. You're out of your mind. Yes, you're absolutely right. But I wanted them that bad, and I put aside the money. I was like, yo, I'm going to spend this much. And real talk, right when I was bidding on them, I was literally in the last 30 seconds of the bid, and I was sitting right at $520, and I was thinking, man, there's no, like, I was literally sweating, like, my palms were sweating, and I was, like, I was losing it because I thought I actually had a shot at them, and then the next thing you know, they went up to $650, and I immediately pulled out because there was just no way I was going to spend that much money for a pair of sneakers. But my grail is definitely going to be, is and will always be until I get them, those Off-White Jordan 5s. I don't like the white and like yellowish ones, the Off-White, the sales. I think they're ugly. I've seen them up close and personal. There is actually a place right by my house that they sell all these shoes that I could get them if I wanted to, but they're super inflated, and I just don't like those. They work for other people. They just don't work for me. Just because, you know, everybody wants a certain pair. I'm also that dude, too, when it comes to, like, deciding what shoes I want. I try to be different, and I know that, yeah, obviously, though my grails are, you know, not so different because there are people who have them. Honestly, like, it's just, that's just the way that I am. I want to be different, but I don't, you know, I don't want to spend more than that. And I honestly, at this point, I've kind of just let them go. Because they're just so hard to find and for a reasonable price. And, you know, if somebody gets a pair of them, they're either going to do one or two things. They're going to sit on them forever, which I think is stupid, because if you buy a pair of sneakers, I don't understand why people buy shoes and just put them in a box and sit on them and on ice. And then there's the people who actually wear them. And then there's the people who sell them for, like, thousands of dollars. And if that's your thing, do you. I ain't even mad at you, because if you're good at it and you can get a hold of these things and you can flip them, you can make a really good hustle out of it. But a lot of times for the regular working guy like myself, something like that is just darn near impossible, because you have to have the network and the resources to do it. And you have to have somebody who's willing to get off of the shoe in the first place. So hope that answers that question. Might be a little bit winded, but yeah, those are my grails. And if any of y'all ever want to send me a pair of them, listen, you can email underthelaces@gmail.com. That's underthelaces@gmail.com. I will give you my mailing address. If you want to gift me a pair, I wear a size 10. I will be more than happy to take them off your hands. If you don't want them and you're sick of them, like, yeah, real talk. Next question. We're about to wrap it up here in a little bit. Are you familiar with the platform Soul Savvy, or are you a member? Actually, I am, and I was a member. Soul Savvy is pretty cool because it's a community of people that collect sneakers, and if you're looking for something, you can actually go out and find it if somebody's willing to sell it. They hit you up with assists. They don't always guarantee a win when you do. But Soul Savvy is just pretty much a platform of a community of sneakerheads who come together and try to help each other get the stuff that nobody else can get. Let's just keep it at that. I've met a lot of cool people on Soul Savvy, so I think it is an awesome place to connect with people and make friends. But if you're interested in Soul Savvy because you're trying to win sneakers all the time, you're going to be disappointed. They even let you know that you're not going to take dubs all the time. In fact, they'll even tell you, like, you'll take more L's than you will dubs. But at the end of the day, it's an amazing community to be a part of because you have people who are like-minded and want to see people win, and they also, they'll help you get a... They'll assist you for a pair of shoes if you're looking for them. I just recently got out of the community, out of the group. It's just, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm starting to just kind of fade off and just kind of like back off buying shoes as a whole. I've gotten pretty much everything I've wanted, and I have enough to last for days. So I'm pretty good. So yeah, Soul Savvy, if you're interested in it, you can. They don't, any way, shape, or form sponsor me. They actually wish they would, but... it'd be pretty cool, but no, Soul Savvy is a really good community, and I love it. I've met some really cool people, and they also, you can also meet people, and you meet people from all over the world. I've got friends in Canada who I met through Soul Savvy that we became friends over just chats about sneakers and life in general. So it's a good place to do life and a good place to meet people. They do a podcast, all that other good stuff. So yeah. All right. Last question. Where do you see the podcast coming up in the next year? Listen, great question. That's from a friend of mine in Texas, as a matter of fact. Appreciate you, fam. Where do I see the podcast in next year? I really, I'm hoping to get to the point where I can start doing videos and actually filming what we do and how we do it and bringing more people on the show and talking about life. I do have some dream board guests that I have wrote down in my journal that I want to bring onto the show and do life with and chop it up with. But I would love to do video. And one of the show, I mean, my inspiration where I pick stuff out from is All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. That is what I love, that podcast, and I love that show. And if I could get to a point where I'm even fingernails worth of like what they do, I think that would be a win for me for next year. But for me, I just want to grow the show. Eventually, I would love to brand it out, create merchandise, create more content. And like I said, bring more people in and just chop it up, because I've always said from jump that this is a platform for everybody. So there's a lot of people that I want to bring on and let them share their stories or hone their craft about. So that's really what I'm about with the show. So in the next year, hopefully that's where we are. But I take it little by little. It's been amazing to see what it's become just with me just going out, getting some gear and putting it together and saying, I'm going to do all this through what I have in my little studio here, just my Mac and my interface and my kits, and who knows where it goes from there. But I would definitely love to one day be on a level like the All the Smoke podcast, or even like the Jocko podcast, even though that one's a little bit dark, because he just films everything in the dark. But you kind of get the idea. It's just being able to kind of branch it out more, expand it more, and even while I'm on this break from season one to season two, it'll be a time to research and learn and grow and take feedback. So yeah, that's where I see the podcast, in another year, is possibly getting into that point and sharing more with you guys and content that way, like a YouTube channel. All right, you guys, that's all the time I have, man. I just want to thank you guys for hanging out. It's been an amazing season. I appreciate all of you guys. Keep liking, keep following. If there's anything that you guys want to hear coming up in season two, by all means, email me, hit me up on social media. You can find me at Under the Laces. But again, man, this has been an amazing season. It's been a lot of fun. This is your boy, Sihan. Thank you for listening. And we got so much in store. I got so much in store for you guys next season that I can't wait to bring it out. But up until then, y'all be easy, be safe. I love you guys to life for real. You've been listening to the Under the Laces podcast. Until next time, peace. You've been listening to the Under the Laces podcast. To stay up to date with every episode, be sure to hit the follow button and receive alerts as new content drops. The UTL Nation is growing, and we want you to be part of it. share us on social media, and let everyone know what you're listening to. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.